welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
With Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast, and I would like to introduce our guest. Would you actually, I'm going to let you introduce yourself. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, sure. Hi, my name's Tyler Fetter, and I am an artist and illustrator, and now officially an author because my book came out in April. My first book, it's called Dancing at the Pity Party, and it's a graphic memoir about my mom's death when I was 19, but it's not 100% sad. It's like,
it's really
a mix of all this stuff.
Real. It's good. And it's really well done. It's just beautiful. You were in, was it your sophomore year of college?
My mom got diagnosed with cancer the summer between my first and second years of college. And then when I came home for spring break, my sophomore year, that's when she died.
It's so rough. And in your book, you described that you'd also just moved from your hometown. Your family had moved from Chicago to Florida?
Yeah, I spent the entire first portion of my life until I was 18 in the Chicago suburbs. And right after I graduated from high school, my family moved to Sarasota, Florida, where we had like a tiny portion of our extended family there. But other than that, we basically knew no one. And then I went to college in Illinois, in Evanston. So I was in Florida for the summer and then immediately came back to Chicago. So it felt like this weird, like, nightmare land in Florida because I didn't really live there. And every time I was there, it was just bad news happening.
Yeah, I think during the pandemic, a lot of things are compounded upon one another. And that was one of the things that struck me when I was reading the graphic novel, was that you had all of these transitions in your life that generally, except for the mom part, at your age, generally would have been, you know, a normal transition had they not all been happening at once. So you were going away to college, big transition, a little bit difficult for everybody. And I think I appreciated there was a part where you were talking about the kids who seemed like they were college ready from day one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, here I am. I'm going to party. Give me my red cup and I'll come to your party. And then, you know, like not necessarily being there, which was me. I wanted to be that girl who was like, yeah, I'm here. Woohoo. But I wasn't. I cried a lot. And then, you know, family moving to a different household, which is another thing that happens, but for it all to happen at the same time is crazy. And then you said you were in your freshman year when she was diagnosed.
It was the summer between. Like tip of adulthood, just the very, very beginning. Everything kind of came crashing down.
So tell us about your mom a little bit and what inspired you. I mean, obviously we know what inspired you to write this, but your mom seemed to be an amazing figure in your life. So how did she become, you know, when did you decide that you were going to write about this and draw about this too? And she was artistic as well, right?
Yeah, she was really artistic. My dad was too, in less direct ways. He was like into like architecture, and also his doodles when he's on the phone are really good. But my mom was like super, super artsy. So we're a really artsy family. But yeah, in terms of wanting to write the book, it started very long ago. I mean, so my mom died in 2009, and I took a class in college after she died that was creative nonfiction. So it was like reading and writing these like more interestingly told nonfiction things than what you normally see in nonfiction, in my opinion. And this was maybe my junior or senior year, I can't remember, but either way, my mom had died like very recently, and I had just been turning every assignment in school into a thing about my mom, if I could finagle it. and I could in that class, so I ended up doing this like graphic essay, so like in graphic format the way that my book is, all about my mom and my experience with her dying and being sick. And it was similarly to the book, like sad, but a little not sad, funny at the same time. And I had done like comics and things for a long time. I mean, I was very, very into art as a kid, and that continued basically until now. And then in high school and college, I did comics for the school newspaper, but I had never done anything that was so personal like this, like that essay. And it was just such a good, like, cathartic experience. And it felt like I could express myself better in that kind of format than I could in any other format. It just felt right to do the words and pictures and kind of sad and kind of funny. And so I always just had in the back of my head, like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to like turn this into a full-length piece one day? And then a few years ago, my agent and editor and everyone, it kind of like fell into place, and I was able to make it really happen. So it feels good, like it's come full circle. And I just feel really lucky that like I had this dream and now it's real.
It's like I said, it's a really good book, and it's very, I like how you talk about just processing grief and how people approach somebody processing grief. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's awkward, and it kind of like, but it like runs the gamut from like, there was that picture of you riding into your college dorm on a big elephant, uh-huh. wearing a blanket that said dead mom, and your college friends being like, hey. So, you know, I don't think it's such a tough thing, because like some people like feel like if they address it, it's disrespectful. Some people go overboard. You mentioned how society deals with death to be kind of a curiosity.
Yeah, in the beginning of the book, I talk about how we have these like two really different ways that we talk about death. So on one side, we have the really like sugar-coaty, just like thoughts and prayers, you know, heaven gained another angel, whatever, and kind of brushing it under the rug. And then on the other end, we have like horror movies and like podcasts and things where it's just like so graphic and gory and scary, and neither of them really get it. Like, I get the tendency to go in one of two directions because it's hard to confront death straight on. It's uncomfortable, absolutely. So I'm just hoping that my book or whatever will like help us move in a direction towards talking about death a little more honestly and with a little more complexity. Like, it's not black and white. I laughed a lot after my mom died, even like pretty soon after she died, like that day, but the laughing turned into crying. And I'm sure other times crying turned into laughing, and it's just a whole big complicated mess that you can't just sum up with thoughts and prayers.
Your artwork is absolutely beautiful. And if people want to find it, it's Roaring Softly is your...
Yeah, I have an Etsy shop where I sell prints of my art. Right now I'm just selling digital downloads because it's been a little easier during the pandemic. But non-pandemic time, I usually sell prints. And it's roaringsoftly.com.
So you also are a comedy writer. Or you have been.
I mean, yeah. So in college, I was a film major, but my concentration was screenwriting. So like all my classes were like screenwriting and TV writing. And I was obsessed with Tina Fey.
We all were.
Yeah. And then like a couple of years after I graduated from college, I did the writing program at Second City in Chicago, which was like a year long, like intensive thing. And then at the end you get to write a show that they put on in one of the like small stages there. And that was so great. Yeah, my family is really into comedy, like before my mom died and still now. We're a jokey family.
When you talk about laughing and crying and crying and laughing, they're both sort of on either ends of the seesaw, so to speak. Yeah. But they're kind of best buds too, because they're extreme emotions.
Yeah, and you kind of feel like a release afterwards.
So you were talking a lot about Shiva in the Jewish mourning process and how much food there is. Your pictures of food made me hungry. I don't know if that's appropriate to say.
I'll take it. I'm glad to hear that.
Did you have like a picture of a Chicago-style pizza?
That was definitely pizza that I drew, yeah.
Because I wanted it so badly. When I was reading your book, I'm like sitting there and I'm upset and I'm like, oh my God, this is really... And I'm like, oh, and I want to eat that pizza, which again, kind of sums up mourning to me.
Oh, and, yeah, you know, like crying and eating.
Why, you know, like when you go to someone's house and they're sitting Shiva, you know, it's like you bring food and then you just eat food, and it's that crying, laughing, eating, all of these extreme things mm-hmm. that make you feel. But yeah, no, your book was beautiful, and your mom seems like she was such a beautiful person. You have two siblings.
Two younger sisters
who seem to just be at different stages of their life when they were processing it. I think graphic memoir wise, I think, you know, it really is beautiful. I recommend it to anybody. Do you have any graphic memoirs that you enjoy or graphic novels that you're reading now that you would recommend?
While I was working on the book, I was really into this book called Can't We Talk About Something More Pleasant?
Yep, I was thinking about that book, which is Roz Chast, while I was reading your book.
Yeah, I was majorly inspired by it. I mean, I read it like before I started working on the book. And so Roz Chast is a cartoonist for The New Yorker. And she wrote the book about her elderly parents, like getting sicker and dying. But like, it was so like sharp and witty and funny and like personal and specific. And I just thought it was so great. So that was super inspiring to me while I was working on it. I love Lucy Nisley's stuff.
She was actually a special guest on Turn the Page. During the early parts of the pandemic, we reached out to her because she was doing those COVID diaries about parenting during a young child during this time. She's lovely. We love her too.
So great.
Yeah.
I really like the work that she posts on social media. It's just these little snippets, but they're like so like profound and exact, and it's so cool how she does them so quickly, like with, I don't know, like it takes me longer to like conceive of what I'm going to draw and sketch it out. And hers are just like, boom, that's the pandemic.
Yeah.
Whatever situation it is. So I think she's great. I just read Passing for Human by Liana Fink, who is also a cartoonist for The New Yorker, but I knew her from Instagram. And that was really beautiful. I'm very inspired by a lot of artists.
Well, yeah. We're just inspired by your work as well. And very much looking forward to sharing it with our patrons. Did it come out yet? I know I picked up I was lucky enough to pick up an ARC of it during PLA, Public Library Association, which literally was 2 weeks before everything shut down.
It feels like a century ago.
I know.
But yeah, it is out. It came out April 14th, so it was like a month into the pandemic. My whole book tour was canceled, and so I did a lot of Zoom meetings like this.
Yeah.
Which ended up like feeling kind of appropriate, because I'm sort of a homebody, and like there's something about, I don't know, being at home and with your family can connect to emotion a little more.
Yeah. Is there anything you are working on now? Are you able to write during the pandemic? Are you do you have anything lined up?
Yeah, I'm working on a children's book right now. It's supposed to come out, I think, like next summer or something. We'll see what ends up happening. But it's for like pre-K kids, and it's all about like body positivity and body diversity. It's tentatively called Bodies Are Cool, maybe with an exclamation point. But it's basically just like teaching kids how there are so many different kinds of bodies, and there's like different birthmarks you can have and different shapes and scars and everything, and they're all cool. Because I think a lot of kids, including myself, could have really used that message when they were that young, like before they had any kind of feeling about their body, when it's just like the thing that encases their soul.
That's true. I mean, I know I grew up with you know, a family who was constantly talking about how they had to diet and how they shouldn't eat that, and how, you know, and looking back on it, they were all average. Like, no, you know, I don't think anybody, but you internalize that as a child.
Yeah. I remember being like a little kid, and I was sitting in our basement with my dad while he was exercising. He was just doing like sit-ups and stretching and stuff, and he told me that he wanted his stomach, like his abs, to be hard instead of soft. Like he wanted them to look hard abs, and I was probably like 4 or 5 or something, and I just remember thinking like, why? What, like, why don't you want to be soft? It's nice to be soft. It's like a pillow. And like, you know, between then and now, I've had so many ups and downs with like diets and disordered eating and like self-hate and stuff. And it's just such a waste of time. I wish I could go back to that time when I'm like, no, just like the way you are is good.
My grandmother, we used to play with her underarms, and we used to call it marshmallows. And she was so soft, and we loved it so much. And now I, looking back on it and knowing how my grandmother was about her own body, she, like, right up until she really couldn't walk anymore, she'd always be on the treadmill, always talk about dieting. It's something that we loved so much about her body was probably something she felt very self-conscious about.
Yeah.
So that's a really good point to how children view bodies just initially versus how we become socialized to do so.
Yeah, there's just this like curiosity and acceptance that little kids have, because like everything they encounter is new, so they have nothing to like judge it off of. Like my grandma is going to be 91 soon. And she, almost every time I talk to her, she talks about how she hates her nose. And it's like, she lived this beautiful, long life. She has 5 grandchildren who all love her. Like, she's traveled, and she's still just, like, focused on her nose. And it makes me sad, because I think her nose is beautiful, and it looks like her. Like, when I see that nose, I'm like, oh, that reminds me of my grandma. So, yeah, those insecurities, no, like, bounds extend to everyone.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much. We're really looking forward to reading the new book when it comes out. I recommend to everybody to read Dancing at the Pity Party. It's really, really good. And checking out Tyler's art. And you are going to be a guest at Celebrity Drawful coming up on August 5th with Ryan Estrada and Shauna J. Grant. So we're really excited to have the three of you doing that.
I'm excited to be thought of as a celebrity. That's very nice.
It was a super fun idea. We did this a few months ago with 3 other graphic novel artists, and it kind of came about during the pandemic when we were looking to do just different types of programming. And Syosset Library has always done pop culture friendly programming. So we were looking at what people were doing to entertain themselves, and these Jackbox games came about. And Drawful 2 was one of them. And I said to one of my coworkers, Stacey Mencher, who does a lot of these programs with me, you know, wouldn't it be great to get like professional graphic novel artists? Because we were doing author visits, but to like live draw these ridiculous drawings and also just chat about their art for an audience. And it turned out to be so much fun that immediately we decided we needed to book a date for the second one. So
it sounds like so much fun. I love playing Pictionary.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's very, very silly. The prompts that you get are very, very silly. And the audience just absolutely loved it. We feel like when we introduce it, we have to get our Alex Trebek voice on and be like, welcome to Celebrity Drama. All right, Tyler, this was a pleasure. We are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.